Welcome back to the show. Let's talk to Richard Hunter, who's market strategist in conjunction with Keith Bowman, an equity analyst. Gentlemen, nice to have you back. State of the markets, it's all a bit tricky out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's difficult to really pinpoint what's changed since the start of the year, even though after the strength of the last couple of days, the FTSE 100 is still down 7%. I guess the one thing that has emerged, which possibly wasn't around to quite an extent at the end of 2015, is the concern about negative interest rates. The banks have certainly taken something of a hammering. Obviously, low interest rates, let alone negative interest rates, are very difficult for banks to make money. On the other hand, of course, you've got to say, well, are negative interest rates really a probability in the lights of the US and indeed the UK for that matter? The problem we're having, of course, is that notwithstanding the pops we've had over the last day or two in terms of the market, when sentiment is this fragile, you tend to get sellers pushing against an open door. There's just a lack of people willing to commit to the market, you know, in this volatile
market. Right. And what's your take, Keith?
Yeah, I still think China is such a massive factor in the whole outlook for markets, really. You know, obviously we've seen today markets rebounding, some comments from the Chinese central bank governor in terms of the currency, and that's obviously had a huge impact there, and you know that's lifted sentiment. But I do think that China remains, you know, extremely significant. Obviously the currency markets are really where this is all playing through, and you know, they're really the areas to keep watching as far as I'm
concerned. Right. Well, let me check a couple of headlines. In the mail this weekend, a dire warning from Bank Guru predicted the crunch, suggesting a crash is on the cards again. Then John Blowers and the FT giving a whole host of reasons why there's this, basically, the usual suspects have got a hand in the sell-off. It was OPEC, sovereign wealth funds, Chinese stock market, Chinese currency. It was the Fed. It was earnings. It was negative rates. It was the US economy. It was the bond market. It was the irrational exuberance. It was Dodd-Frank with the re-regulatory issues with the banks. It was everyone, he wrapped up.
Well, that's right. But of course, it's a fair point in as much as it's very, very easy to be negative, isn't it? And one of the things that we said towards the end of last year was that come the first quarter of 2016, it was difficult to identify what a positive catalyst might be, what might come along actually to change sentiment. A lot of people were hanging their hats on the fourth quarter earnings season, which hasn't fully played through yet. Certainly in the UK, we're starting to get a busy week next week when you've got the likes of RBS and Lloyds, for example, Merlin, a couple of the insurers. It's a fairly busy week corporate-wise next week, and indeed in the States. The earnings generally had expected to be down about 3 to 4%. Generally speaking, they have. So we certainly haven't had the sort of fillip we'd been hoping for from Q4 earnings. And that's why, with sentiment as it is, I wouldn't necessarily trust that the rallies we've had on Friday and so far today just yet. They need to be a bit more entrenched and a bit more established. Obviously, markets aren't going to go up in a straight line, but you'd probably want to see a couple of weeks of at least 3 days out of five where the markets are going in the right direction, because, as we said at the top, we remain 7% in the wrong direction, and we're only mid-February.
Yeah. In terms of the actual sectors themselves, Keith, is there anything that you think, oh, this looks reasonable value to me? I know that sort of there was rumours about Vodafone again with Liberty, etc., etc. Is there anything that sort of caught your imagination?
You know, I think investors are still staying broadly geared towards the sort of defensive areas. As you say, your telecoms is maybe one of those, your food and drink areas, all your classics. But I think with this sort of current economic background, it is very difficult to particularly pick out sectors. You know, obviously we've seen some M&A activity in the pharmaceuticals arena, and I think that's one that, again, investors are staying close to. But I think, yeah, it is difficult to sort of to pick those sectors when the background is so uncertain.
Right. And collectively, do you expect the markets basically by year ends, if you look forward, do you think we'll be around at these levels? Or do you think we'll be higher? Do you think we'll be lower?
Well, that very much depends on how the China plays out for the...
This is the key ingredient.
It seems to be the key ingredient in terms of sentiment, rightly or wrongly, at the moment. I think what this has... 2016 has provided so far is an absolutely ideal opportunity to step back and to think, right, the quality companies of yesterday are still quality companies today. Do I honestly think things are going to be worse in 5 years' time or better? Will the Chinese economy have stabilised? Will the much vaunted move across to consumerism be further down the line? And if you think the world's going to be a better place in 5 years' time, on the basis you're a long-term investor, as opposed to a short-term trader, yep. for example, then this could well be representing a number of decent buying opportunities for the longer term, providing you look at the bottom-up approach and those quality companies which are bound in the FTSE 100.
Right. Couple of stocks. Give me a couple of stocks that you think, oh, do you know what? I could put those into the portfolio long-term.
Well, you've got a couple of cash-generating stocks. You've got the likes of Whitbread, of course, Premier Inn and Costa Coffee continue to go from strength to strength,
yeah.
even though they're eyeing up international expansion. The fact of the matter is that they're mainly a UK player at this stage. The UK economy is doing well. Whitbread's doing particularly well. And even the likes of Next, which hasn't for some time been a massive market favourite in terms of consensus, it normally comes in around neutral. But again, the fact remains their strategy is quite clear. If we've got excess cash, we'll either return it to shareholders in terms of dividends or share buybacks. It's a very tightly run machine, and it's one of the first established retailers which had a clicks and mortar approach. So its Next Directory
yep.
Is a particular strength. So, you know, that's just two stocks out of many. I mean, obviously, if you lower down the scale in terms of your general attitude to risk, you probably steer clear of the miners, oils, and maybe even the banks at this point. Mm. But that leaves a lot of companies in the FTSE 100 worth a look at.
Understood. And finally, Brexit. When it's obviously we've had cable moving and being weak, how concerned are you about that situation?
You know, it's clearly it is a big concern for markets. It's a very tough one to overplay, really. I suppose the early polls are suggesting that we could maybe see that voters come out in favour of a Brexit. Not so sure. You know, obviously we've seen polls, you know, proving correct in the past. Can't read too much into them, I think, from where we are. You know, I clearly feel that David Cameron and the government, broadly speaking, are keen to try and stay in. The European Union, and it does appear as though business leaders on the majority are still in favour, and I think that, you know, that could sway the day.
My gut feel is that we will stay in. Again, as Keith said, we saw with the election, you can't necessarily read anything into the polls. They certainly didn't predict anything like an outright Tory victory last year. At the same time, it will be an interesting couple of months. Obviously, Cameron's still got his negotiations going on in Brussels, but the actual pros and cons of the argument haven't been put to the people in the street yet. So investors might have their own opinion at this stage, but in terms of a wider referendum, it's far too early to call until the strength of the arguments, one way and the other, are put to the UK at large.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for that. Richard Hunter, Keith Bowman, see you very soon. Let's take a very quick break.